You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
Last Thursday, Budget 2025, the Growth Budget, was announced. As part of the budget, there were significant changes to KiwiSaver, including an increase to the default employee and employer contribution rates and a decrease in government contributions. The Council of Trade Unions has expressed concern about the KiwiSaver changes, stating they could impact low-income workers the most as they lose potential savings in compound interest. However, they have praised the extension of the KiwiSaver scheme to 16 and 17-year-olds. There are also new eligibility limits for 18 and 19-year-olds to access benefits based on parental income. Youth advocates have expressed concern for young people who cannot get support from their families due to a relationship breakdown or the high cost of living. And the ACT Party's Regulatory Standards Bill has passed its first reading and is now before the Finance and Expenditure Committee. Leader David Seymour has described the bill as being about transparent and sensible regulation. However, the bill has been criticised for its potential effect on the place of Te Tiriti o Waitangi in our laws. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke with Shannon Halbert about both of these issues. Here is that interview. Who benefits from Budget 2025?
Well, that's hard to say. Probably big business and the mates of the National Party. I've been really concerned about this budget that National has cut women's pay and people's retirement savings.
Do you think the changes to KiwiSaver were reasonable?
Well, I'm not sure that anything that this government has done has been reasonable. National has taken money out of women's future pay packets and raided our kids' retirement savings to subsidise what we've seen fossil fuel industries. So, you know, this government hasn't been realistic in the budget that they've allocated this time round. We're concerned about that and we've been pretty vocal about it.
Is there a risk that people, particularly in the public sector, could be paid less in take-home pay to compensate for the increased KiwiSaver employer contributions?
Well, certainly Kiwis have been asked to contribute more and employers, you know, will have to contribute more as well. The part that I'm most concerned about is that if we think about, you know, my nephew, for example, 18 years old, if they start out KiwiSaver today, they'll lose $66,000 from this government and the decision that they've made. That's just not good enough. We're really proud of KiwiSaver. We think it's a great scheme and we want government to be able to do their part.
Is it appropriate to means test the parents of 18 and 19-year-olds before they can receive job seeker or emergency benefits?
Well, every young person has different circumstances, and so, you know, means testing means that that the government may not understand fully the circumstances of that those young people. I think of a number of rainbow young people who have left home for different reasons. They're not supported by their parents, and you know that this creates great concern around how are their needs going to be met under this new regime.
As called for by advocacy groups, should there be targeted support in the budget for young people who are unemployed or homeless?
Certainly. You know, we saw $1 billion come out of the emergency housing budget, and you know, I think of organisations like Kickback and AJ Hendry's comments, you know, have really highlighted the homelessness issue for young people here in Tāmaki Makaurau. We have raised that a number of times in the House and called for a response from this government. They don't tend to acknowledge that there is a problem, you know, and so that's the arrogance of this government that we're seeing.
In general, was this a budget that should inspire hope in young people? Why or why not?
Well, young people and women are paying for this budget, and so there's no hope there, sadly. The announcements that the government have made, you know, have been negative ones towards supporting young people. When we went into the House under urgency post-budget for 3 days, you know, two of those bills were about taking away support for young people. That's not good enough. That makes me really sad.
Why is Labor against the Regulatory Standards Bill?
Well, the Regulatory Standards Bill puts a framework in place that takes away the protections of both Te Tiriti, but also the protections of our environment, of our well-being, of all the things that we love as New Zealanders. I've been calling it Treaty Principles Bill 2.0. That's because the same principles that were put forward in the Treaty Principles Bill are also featured heavily in the Regulatory Standards Bill. It pushes power back to David Seymour. It's a far-right attempt to take that power, and it really shows once again that Prime Minister Luxon isn't in control.
Could this bill reignite some of the debate that emerged from the Treaty Principles Bill?
It already has. You'll see across social media there's been a number of calls for people to make their submissions, and I really encourage people to do that as well. We can't take another risk here, and so turnout of submissions is really important. But this isn't just a Māori issue. The Regulatory Standards Bill affects every New Zealander, and particularly those more vulnerable, so Māori, Pacific, people with disabilities, our rainbow community. You know, so I'm calling for all of those people to make submissions. This bill cannot proceed.
Why do you think the bill is gaining traction now when it has failed in the past?
Well, it depends on which way you're looking at it. You know, it's gaining traction in terms of the number of people against it. It's gaining traction to highlight how weak our Prime Minister is in leading this country. So, you know, the traction is yet to be determined. The traction comes about because of the ACT Party being in government, that this is their attempt to put a far-right agenda back in place that will remove protections from, you know, from New Zealanders. And so, you know, that's why I'm encouraging people to make a submission via the Select Committee, and hopefully it will be another embarrassment to the ACT Party and the government, just like the Treaty Principles Bill was.
Is it appropriate for the government to use urgency to move through controversial bills, particularly in the shadow of the budget?
In this case, it was unnecessary. From time to time, governments will use urgency. The government put up 11 bills under urgency last week, post-budget. Only two of those bills were relevant to the budget. The Regulatory Standards Bill didn't need to go through at that particular time under urgency, just like the Ministry of Social Development bills that went through, taking away the rights of young people in our system. This government has an incredibly high number of bills going through urgency, all three stages. That is incredible, and it's not the democratic system that New Zealanders want to see.
That was Labour's Shannon Halbert on Budget 2025, particularly its impacts on Rangatahi and the Regulatory Standards Bill.
That was our weekly chat with the Labour Party. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.